this is a two-quid bag. It was 2 quids at least, I think, when we got it on sale at Decathlon. How many of you have these cheap bags from Decathlon? Anybody else have any of these things? Oh, okay, very good, Paul. Thank you. Oh, and some of you over there. Well, I was glad when I saw this on sale because we had to replace our previous bag because we had taken our previous little bag, just like this one, with us last summer in August on a little cruise to the Aran Islands on the West Coast. And the ship ride out to the island was okay, but our boat that we were supposed to get for the return trip was canceled because the waves had gotten so bad. And so we had to wait for the last boat to get back. And this was a bigger boat than the one that we had taken out. And so I figured, you know, it doesn't matter if the waves are a little choppy out there, you know, because this is such a big boat. It's got at least two decks with interior and exterior seating. The interior lower deck had at least seats for about 100 people or so. Nice plush seats and everything. And so I thought, you know, we're okay. We're good to go here. Well, no sooner did we pull out of the harbor on the Aran Island, but the boat starts rocking back and forth. And I don't mean just a little bit. I mean like 45 degrees one way and then 45 degrees the other way. And I'm looking around at these people and I'm like, somebody's going to get sick here, you know. Well, little did I know that it was going to end up being our family. And so that's why we had to replace our bag, because we had nothing else. Now, our assigned gospel lesson for this morning from the fourth chapter, the end of the fourth chapter of Mark, is all about a boat ride just like that. And I can really identify with the disciples because I now, too, have had an experience on the sea where I seriously was fearing for my very life. And, you know, we have Loch Ness here, and Loch Ness is maybe about twice as large as the Sea of Galilee, roughly speaking, although the Sea of Galilee is a bit deeper than Loch Ness is. And the Sea of Galilee can also get quite choppy, even though it's a relatively small body of water, because, see, the winds come off of the Golan Heights on the west side of the Sea of Galilee, and they just sweep down over the water, and all of a sudden, before you know it, a storm's brewing, and all of the boats start rocking back and forth at 45-degree angles. And so this is what we're dealing with. We've got a short video clip here via YouTube that shows us a wooden vessel that can hold maybe about 20 or so people. Now, this is motorized, of course, but this is on the Sea of Galilee not too long ago. And this is a sunny day. There's no downpour or nothing. So this is a pretty calm day. And yet, this boat, as you can see, is going up and down, just bobbing along there on the waves. There, it takes a little tilt to the left there. And so you can see quite easily how it's possible for the disciples to have been in a situation where they were fearing for their lives. Now, Anne just read for us very clearly this passage. Let me just read it for us so that it's fresh in our minds. Mark chapter 4, beginning at 35, verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." I want to look with you at just a few aspects of this story, and we're going to relate it back to the story of the Israelites in Exodus, when they are on their exodus out of Egypt. But we don't have time to read large swaths of that. So you may want to put your finger in Mark chapter 4, and I'll just be reading a few short passages for us from Exodus, and maybe a few others if we have time here. Now, in the opening verse of our passage today, in Mark 4, verse 35, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." And then in Exodus chapter 13, it says that God led the people, once they had left Egypt, around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. Now, what I want us to see here simply is that Jesus intentionally led his disciples out on the Loch Galilee. He made a decision that they weren't going to walk around on the shore to where their next destination was. They were going to take the scenic route over the water. And likewise, God, Yahweh, when he led his people out of Egypt, they didn't go directly towards the promised land. No, they took the circuitous route down towards the Red Sea. He led them intentionally to the sea. Now, what the sea ends up being, both for the Israelites as well as for Jesus' disciples, is a place of testing. It's a place where circumstances are going to get to a point where it's going to call upon the disciples to make some choices, to become active participants in their relationship with Jesus. Now, our circumstances are great things in life that God can use for our good. And what we find oftentimes is that whether something is a test for us to grow closer to God or it's a temptation that draws us further away from God, well, testing and temptation are really nothing more than two sides of the same coin. If something is drawing us closer to God, well, then it was a test. It's something that ends up drawing us closer to him. But if it's something that ends up drawing us further away from him, well, then we turn that circumstance into a temptation. The choice is often, more often than we might realize, is up to us. Now, if we go through that circumstance and we do draw closer to God, well, then that's good. And then the next circumstance will be something to challenge us to go even a bit further. But if we've somehow failed that circumstance, we've failed that test, we've allowed it to become a temptation, well, then more often than not, what we find is God lets us go through the same kind or a similar kind of situation again and again until we pass the test. He lets us retake our test. He's happy enough to be patient with us to keep on retaking the test as often as we like. In several weeks, we're going to revisit the disciples once again on the Sea of Galilee because they failed the test the first time. Now, a couple verses later in Mark 4, verses 37 and 38, it says, "The waves broke over the boat. It was nearly swamped. Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And in Exodus, it says, "As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They, the Israelites, were terrified and cried out to Yahweh." It's kind of like Jesus is in the stern of the boat with his head on the cushion there, and he's having a good deep sleep. And the disciples wake him up, and so he, what time? Oh, has your exam arrived? Okay, it's time for your test now. Let's get on with it. The disciples here, they've got a fear of their circumstances that they've been put into. It's a fear of what's going on around them, and they don't know what to do. Now let's move quickly on here to Mark verse 39 in chapter 4. Jesus rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still. Now in Psalm 105, we find this, that he, God, rebuked the Red Sea, and it dried up. He led them through the depths as through a desert. And in Exodus, it says, Yahweh drove the sea back with a strong east wind. Quiet, be still. Jesus gives a couple imperatives here to what we might call Mother Nature. Now, this is not the first set of imperatives that Jesus has delivered. Even in these first few chapters of Mark that we've been looking at over the past few months, this is the 12th set of imperatives, of commands that Jesus is giving. He gives imperatives to people, like when he tells them to repent and to believe. He gives imperatives to evil spirits when he tells them to come out and to be quiet. He gives imperatives about physical healing. And now he's giving imperatives to nature. Throughout all of these episodes in these chapters in Mark, what we see is Jesus' authority. Jesus' authority over people, his authority over disease, his authority over evil spirits, and now his authority over the forces of nature. Nothing, nothing supersedes Jesus' authority. And that's because of who Jesus is, of what his identity is. As Mark said at the very outset, in verse 1 of chapter 1, this is the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And a few verses later, Yahweh himself in an audible voice says, "This is my Son." Jesus is none other than God. And based on that identity, he has authority over all things. So we shouldn't be surprised that he's able to give imperatives to the sea and the wind, that he's able to give imperatives to evil spirits, that he's able to give imperatives about physical healing, that he's able to give imperatives to people, because all is under his authority, his domain. And by the way, he wants us to recognize this so that as we follow him, we can reflect that same kind of authority as we walk his earth. And finally, I just want to point out another parallel here between the Exodus story and this story in Mark. But this time we're going to start with the Exodus story because it's actually more of a contrast than it is a comparison. It says in Exodus, when the Israelites saw the great power of Yahweh displayed against the Egyptians, they feared Yahweh, and they had faith in Yahweh. And then in Mark 4, verse 40, it says, Jesus said to his disciples on Loch Galilee, "Why are you so fearful? Do you still have no faith?" Why are you so fearful? Do you still have no faith? That's what Jesus says to us who live nearby Loch Ness. Why are you so fearful? Do you still have no faith? You see, it's not enough to be along for the ride in the boat with Jesus. He's invited all of us to get inside the boat with him and take a journey. But just because we're in the boat with him doesn't mean that that's all that he's looking for from us. No, he wants us to get rid of our fear of our circumstances. The storm brewing around us, the threat to our very lives, none of that should strike fear in our hearts. The only kind of fear that we're called to have in the Bible, in God's word, is the fear of him, which is an awesome kind of reverential fear. But the fear of things out there, the fear of circumstances in our life, that has no place in us. So why are we yet so fearful? But if we're able to have fear only of him, as it were, and not of our circumstances, then we can have the faith in him, the trust in him, that no matter what the winds and the sea throw at us, we can stand confident in knowing that he is there, that he has authority over all things. We don't need to go through life full of fear of our life. We don't need to go through life without any faith in God. So let's just do a little exercise here. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes in a moment. And I want you to identify in your mind, what is the storm that you're going through right now? And if you're not going through a storm right now, then praise God. Think about somebody who you know is going through a storm right now. And if you don't know anybody who's going through a storm right now, well, then you need to get to know some new people in your life. And if you really can't think of anybody who's going through a storm, well, then at least think of your brothers and sisters in Christ over in the Middle East or in Africa who are definitely going through some big storms right now as they face persecution. And then I'm going to ask you to lift up these circumstances to Jesus and allow him to speak into them. And then we're going to ask him for some faith. So go ahead and close your eyes right now. Identify this storm, yours or somebody else's. And in your hearts right now, ask Jesus to bring his command against that storm, to tell that storm to be quiet, to be still. Do that now. And let him know that you don't want to hang on to any fears related to those circumstances. You're tired of walking with that fear. It's bringing you down. So lift that fear up to him right now and ask him to take that away from you. And now ask him to replace that fear with something else. Ask him to replace that fear with the gift of faith, with the gift of a new, brand new shield of faith. If you've ever seen Captain America with his mighty shield, a shield that can withstand anything, ask for that kind of faith